clerk will now announce counsel, please.
May it please the court, Mr. Stephen Tatum will argue for the appellant Baylor Bank Offerings, and Mr. Russell King will argue for Pamela Martin Dog Martin.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Tatum.
May it please the court. I believe this case presents a fairly simple situation. A patient was unfortunately assaulted at Baylor All Saints by a stranger while that patient was hospitalized. All Saints deeply regrets that it happened. Fortunately, this is not, this is a rare occurrence, a very rare occurrence. But we're dealing here with a healthcare liability claim. We're again in section 74.351 of the Texas Civil Practice and Remedies Code. And as this court is well aware, that code requires for a medical negligence claim to proceed that the plaintiff must file an expert report. That report must fairly describe the standard of care allegedly violated, that the standard was breached, how it was breached, and that and how that breach proximately caused plaintiff's injury. The report must be specific. Texas Supreme Court has held on several occasions that reports that simply say those things, physician violated standard of care, and without mentioning what it is, that violation caused damage to the or injury to the plaintiff, is simply not a sufficient expert report. The Palacios case is really the Texas Supreme Court case. It's in our brief, and it is probably the one that goes into the most detail about what is and isn't sufficient. The expert that the plaintiff offered in this case, the Mr. Shershaw, filed a report that does nothing more than what Palacios held to be insufficient. The operative language, and I quote, hospitals must have in place policies by which safeguard patients from assault by strangers and staff.
Now let's keep going.
And it says the JCHAO standards, which standards are never specifically enumerated or stated.
Well, should employ a sufficient number of security personnel to ensure that no unauthorized persons enter patient rooms and physically assault the patients.
Yes.
Since he can't do discovery, how is he supposed to be able to know what security measures were in place? Even if he sets the standard of care, he can't say it was breached because he can't do discovery to see if the standards were met.
Well, with regard to the sufficient number of security personnel, one could walk into the hospital and count. And presumably there's a standard.
No, not without your permission.
I suspect, I'm not sure that that's true, Your Honor. I believe a hospital is, I'm not aware of anything that would prevent one of you from walking into Baylor All Saints and at least looking around to see how the security dealt with your entry. Whether I've never been stopped by walking into a hospital by anyone, whether I was going there to see a patient, whether I was there for some other business. But again, I haven't tried to go up on a floor like that, but I have done that actually on occasion. The point is, and the hospital's website has information about patient census, and presumably, if there are standards about the number of security personnel that are required for a particular hospital, it has to be based on something, square footage, patient census, or something, and all of that's publicly available. If there was a standard out there about sufficient security personnel, then it would have to be on some basis like that. And at least the square footage of the hospital and the patient census, I'm certain, are available on their website. So the long and short of it is there are things that an expert could have done to at least tie the statement that a hospital should have sufficient procedures or sufficient security personnel to some facts that are publicly available at that hospital.
Well, for example, just following down that road, I don't know how he would find out who was on duty, what were they doing, how were they trained, because he can't do discovery. He can certainly opine as to what the standard of care should be for security to keep someone safe from intruders. I mean, and he should do that. But I don't know how he can state that the standard is breached when basically all he gets is medical records.
Well,
because he can't do discovery to find out because obviously what this section was meant to do was to give you the medical records, because a health care claim was based on what happened in health care. It wasn't meant to cover things like this, actually. Mm-hmm. Now it's morphed into covering more than the health care that was provided. You know, that's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to me, to some extent, in these non-direct health care cases, your hands are tied by discovery because it's not contained in the medical records.
Well, again, if this claim had something to do with, well, the claim is that there were insufficient security personnel.
Right.
Well, there has to be a standard by which insufficiency is judged. There has to be.
I agree there should be a standard judged by the expert.
And if there was no standard stated in here, so many security personnel per patient room, so many security personnel per building, there has to be some standard against which that can be judged. And the expert here referenced no such standard. He simply said, yes, ma'am.
He does reference the Joint Commission on Accreditation of Healthcare Organizations.
Yes.
But I don't see, at least within that paragraph, I mean, he talks about the fact that that organization has established hospital standards. But is there anywhere where the expert identifies a particular standard that's in these, standards issued by the organization?
No, Your Honor, and that's the problem. Had there been a standard, and quite frankly, I'm not aware what the JCHO standards say with regard to numbers of security personnel, or if they say nothing more than generally you should have procedures in place to prevent people from being assaulted.
Yeah, it says must have in place policies which safeguard patients.
Right. Well, there is no indication, number one, whether exactly what policies would be sufficient. The JCHO certainly has somewhere in its website, and I haven't looked, but it must have some model standards that could have been referenced.
I'm hearing exactly what you're saying. And my only point is if he had put all of those standards in place, he can't say they were reached because he can't do discovery to determine if they were met. That's my point. I'm hearing you that there should have been standards in here set out that must be someplace as to what should have, you know, exactly what standard they should have been trying to meet. And I'm just saying, even if they were in here, he couldn't do discovery to find out if they were breached or not. So I'm not sure that it would have been done any good to put the standard in here if you can't then have an affidavit saying they were breached.
Well, again, and I have to keep going back to at least the point that there are some avenues and publicly available sources that could have been looked at very easily. And there could have been a personal visit to the hospital to observe. If the standard, for example, was that there needed to be an airport-type security X-ray machine that you had to walk through to get into the hospital, if that was a standard, which it isn't, but if it was, walking up to the front door of the hospital and looking could have at least given some indication whether that standard was being complied with. It doesn't appear to me that there was anything, any effort like that that was made. What this states is essentially a res ipsa loquitur argument. There was an assault. Therefore, security wasn't good enough. And I just, for one thing, res ipsa loquitur doesn't apply, or in most, if not all, medical malpractice type cases. I think that's been the law in Texas for years. But I don't know how to state it any clearer. Or it creates a strict liability situation for hospitals. If an assault occurs within a hospital, then the hospital is strictly liable for it without any reference to reasonable expectations and so forth, which case law that we've cited in our brief actually sets out. Frankly, if you take this position to a logical extreme, posit someone who has a family member in the hospital, but who accidentally wanders into the wrong hallway with the purest of intent, with no malicious intent at all, wanders into an incorrect room, and sees something private that causes some sort of emotional distress to the patient, the hospital would be liable for that, even with no negligence at all, and no real expectation that something like that could happen. And despite the hospital's best efforts, suppose, you know, the hospital could have directed that person to the right place, and that person still gets lost. Hospitals can be confusing places. Again, we've talked about the discovery problem, and I think that really in this case, if there had been any sort of indication of any attempt to research any of this on the websites or a personal visit to the hospital, an observation, I think that might have been a better point, but there doesn't appear to have been any effort on that point. The Palacios case dealt with this same issue, and it's quoted in our brief. In that case, a patient fell out of a bed in a hospital room. The patient had been restrained, had been able to remove the restraints, and somehow fell out of the bed. The report boiled down, opined that precautions to prevent the fall of the patient were not properly utilized, without mentioning what those precautions were, or without fleshing that comment out. The court held that simply wasn't a sufficient expert report. That case illustrates the problem with the Fischer-Shaw affidavit. There should be policies that safeguard patients. What should those policies say? There should be sufficient security personnel. Well, again, there should be a standard somewhere, even if it's a standard that the expert has come up with on his own and espouses as being the optimal number of security personnel per square foot in a hospital. That was not mentioned in the Fischer-Shaw report. As I stated earlier, and I think I'm basically at the end of where I think we need to argue. Should this court uphold this the trial court's decision here, what you're doing in essence is imposing a strict liability standard on hospitals for things like this. We flesh that out in our brief, but if a report is sufficient by simply saying that an act occurred, ergo there was a breach of a standard that isn't stated, that's strict liability. And that's an incorrect standard. If I can address any questions that the court has, I'll give some time back.
Thank you, Mr. Tatum.
Thank you.
Mr. King.
Thank you, Your Honors. I appreciate the fact that the court is familiar with the substance of this case, and I won't take up a lot of the court's time. The purpose behind the rule requiring an expert, the statute requiring an expert report, is to eliminate frivolous lawsuits. It sets forth the requirements. We believe that the trial court below did a proper application of the statute to the expert report that we had tendered, and that made the correct decision. As the court is aware, this is not a garden variety medical negligence case. This is a case that is sufficiently different in nature that does, quite honestly, doesn't fit within the normal parameters of a case. Normally, in a medical negligence case, the medical records would disclose to the appellee the actions of the staff, right, the nurses, of the doctors in place. In this case, the medical records are of very little use to the appellee, and therefore, the report requirement needs to be applied in that context. We believe that the report identified the standard of care, identified how we believe the standard of care was deviated from.
Well, why don't you tell us where that is?
Well, in
tell us what the standard of care is and how it was breached in your report.
Okay. In our report, Dr. Shoshow identifies that the JACHO patient security and safety expectations would require, at a minimum, that hospitals should employ a sufficient number of security personnel to identify, to ensure that no unauthorized persons enter patients' room and physically assault patients.
What is that number, or how is it calculated? Or, I mean, you know, you can have a 2-floor hospital or a 12-floor hospital, 8 wings. I mean, what is it? Just, well, you ought to supply enough. That's not a standard of care.
Well,
at least in my mind, it's not. I'm in the minority here, but
it's a number. Quite honestly, without discovery, I mean, it's impossible to be more specific in determining
on that. But that's the legislature that has, and the Supreme Court that have decided that this is a health care liability claim, and then the legislature has limited you to getting basically the medical records. But we at the Court of Appeals can't control either one of those things. So,
well, a further, I guess, a more specific description of the standard of care would necessarily be based on those factual issues that we don't have access to.
Well,
there would be a different number of security personnel that would be required to provide adequate security for the Baylor Hospital in Dallas as opposed to one of the more regional hospitals.
Well, let's just say if the hospital was going to look at this report and was going to do some written policies on sufficiency of security, okay, all that they could do from looking at this report is we need enough.
Well, I mean,
what's that? I mean, do we need one per floor? Do we need one per 60 patients? I mean, this doesn't tell anybody, in my mind, what the standard is, other than it's enough. And I'm hearing you about your hands tied on this government. I'm hearing you. But our hands are tied by the Supreme Court and the legislature to do anything about that. So with that in place, I'm not hearing what the standard is.
Quite honestly, I don't know that there's a way to provide a more specific standard than what the report provides.
Well, the second purpose of this statute is to give the defendant notice of what specific conduct they engaged in that resulted in the breach. That's the second portion, the second purpose of the statute. And this report simply says the facts of this case implies that the hospital failed to provide sufficient training and security. That does not give them any notice of what specifically they did to breach, even if you find that the standard of care is contained within this expert report. Does it?
Well, it may not, but unfortunately, the problem is that without discovery, we don't have any way to determine what their training, what their number of security personnel to patient census is, B, what their policies and procedures are, and C, how those policies and procedures are implemented.
What authority do you have to provide to us that we can somehow or another do something different than what they told us.
I don't know that we have a specific authority to that effect. Quite honestly, our position is that the report meets the requirements of the statute.
I think you'd be in a lot stronger position if your expert had come in here with what the standard was. They need to be trained on this. You need this number of them. You need this sort of security oversight. You need monitors. In other words, set out what the hospital needs and then come in here and say, but because all I can get is the medical records, I can't tell if they've met the standard or not. I think you'd be in a lot stronger position than you are now when basically you said they need enough security and the breach was they didn't have enough. Well, you know, I mean, I don't think discovery is related to the standard of care. Discovery is related to was the standard of care breached. And if you'd come in here with the standard of care and couldn't do discovery, well, that presents a real situation. But I'm having trouble seeing that he actually went out and did enough research to establish the standard of care that the hospital should have met to keep this from happening.
And I certainly appreciate that, Your Honor, but I don't know that the statute requires, I mean, the report identifies the basis for his opinion as the standard of care. But I don't know that the statute requires him to set out in his report that JCAHO Regulation 5 specifies this. I mean, I think it's sufficient for him to identify what the body is and to specify that the regulations require that you have sufficient number of security personnel to provide patient safety.
I mean, if this was really a medical malpractice case, it's in essence you're saying the standard of care is to not give too much lidocaine during the surgery, and he did. But giving too much lidocaine probably in the standard of care, it's, you have to set out how much lidocaine for this particular surgery and so forth and so on. And
well, I mean, I appreciate that, but I don't know that is a apples to apples comparison. I mean, because in a typical medical negligence case, I mean, there is, I mean, you would be able to see what actions were taken because you would have access
for
to
the
records.
Discovery is for the breach.
And I quite honestly, I don't know how to answer your
okay.
question further than that.
That's fine. I probably wasn't asking a question. I'm just talking.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. King. Mr. Tatum?
I have nothing further, Your Honor.
All right, counsel, thank you for your arguments today and your briefing. Your case is submitted, and you all are excused. That concludes court for this.